familiar passages in the Old Testament. The 23rd Psalm paints a picture of God as if a sheep were describing its shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to the restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of His good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full that it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. As we approach God in a spirit of worship, we recognize that we have failed to fully embody the Spirit of Jesus in everything we say and do. Would you pray with me? Jesus, strong shepherd, Your love for us is eternal. Your care for us is persistent. But how we resist Your guidance. We wander off, tempted by quick and flashy solutions. We hold back, cautiously seeing what others are choosing. We bleat our disagreements and criticisms to anyone who will listen. We rush ahead, confident that we know best. Strong and tender shepherd, draw us close to You, so Your voice will echo in our hearts and Your love will guide our steps. Call us again by name and lead us in the paths of peace. Amen. Jesus calls us, even now, to turn away from the world's distractions which lead us into temptation, and to turn toward God who offers us abundant life. Day by day, may we hear the voice of Jesus, for He assures us that our errors, our failings, our sins are not held against us. Sisters and brothers, in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Today's New Testament reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 ends with a phrase that is also very familiar. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. That's what Paul wrote. Is that a sales ploy by Paul? A slogan Paul used to try to motivate the reluctant Corinthians to contribute to that special offering being collected to help the Christians in Jerusalem? A sales ploy? No. It's the simple truth. God loves a cheerful giver because that's God's nature too. God gives us all that we have, giving generously and constantly, not reluctantly, not begrudgingly, not keeping a record of accounts, what God's paid out versus what God's received in return. God gives cheerfully, joyfully, generously, because that is God's nature. And we hear that throughout the Bible. The Bible's initial mythic story of the creation of the world assumes that God simply wanted to make it happen. God spoke the universe into existence, formed humankind from the elements of the earth, and entrusted it all for our use and care. During this summer's sermon series on the life of Moses, we heard story after story of God's generosity. God came to the rescue of the Hebrew people and gave them a way out of captivity. God gave the people leadership in the persons of Moses and his brother Aaron. While in the wilderness, God provided the people with sources of bread and meat and water to drink. God provided them with a promised land, a place of opportunity. And of course, all the while, God provided them with an identity as people belonging to God, a people striving to be faithful to God. God is a generous, joyful, cheerful giver. And at a point in human history, at a point in the history of God's people, God gave us God's own presence embodied in flesh in the birth of Jesus the Son. And in Jesus' 33rd year, when his world-changing life was perceived as a threat to the status quo and the powers of the world conspired to kill Jesus, God generously gave us the gift of eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God loves a cheerful giver because that is God's nature, overflowing generosity. And we're invited to embody that quality of God in our lives, cheerfully giving from our resources and treasures, our skills and our passions. Where do you see cheerful givers in your life? Do you see one in the mirror? Let me tell you about a husband and wife in a church I used to serve in suburban Detroit. I'm going to call them Daryl and Joan. Daryl was a retired engineer at Ford Motor Company. Joan was a retired public school teacher. They had lived their whole married life in a lovely little bungalow in a middle-class suburb of Detroit. Daryl and Joan loved Alma College, a small Presbyterian liberal arts college right in the center of the state of Michigan. After they had raised their three children, Daryl and Joan designed their lifestyle so that they might be able to give as much as they could to support student scholarships at Alma College. They never moved to a bigger house. They kept their cars much longer than many in Detroit's auto industry tend to do. They supported their church, of course, but Alma College was their passion. Something Daryl said to my wife still sticks with me. While I was out of town leading a week of church camp, one night Daryl and Joan took my wife Mary to a local cafeteria-style restaurant. Now, if it's been a while since you've patronized one, let me remind you of two things about cafeterias. First, everything is a la carte, so you pay for every item you choose. And second, those cafeterias always put desserts at the front of the line, hoping that you will select one before your overladen tray convinces you that you probably don't need dessert. Well, as Mary started sliding her tray down that long tubular shelf, Daryl turned to her and said in his gentle whisper, "Oh, we don't eat desserts here." And as they approached the cash register, he added, "Oh, we just drink water here." And that epitomized their approach to living. Cafeteria dessert was $1.35. A soft drink would have been another dollar. Money that they would much rather give to Alma College than to a cafeteria cashier. Now, the choices weren't painful. They were an expression of joy at what their small sacrifice could mean for college students needing scholarships to be able to stay in school. Daryl and Joan were cheerful givers. God invites us to follow the pattern that God has established, giving of our lives cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver because that is God's nature too. I know I've seen it in my life. When I was getting my first degree at McCormick Seminary in Chicago, I worked my way through school, well, sorta. I got some scholarships from the seminary. My wife worked full-time for the seminary. Though I was a full-time student, I had a part-time job in the seminary library. I also made a little money from time to time as a student preacher in local churches, getting some experience learning how to preach. But what really made the difference, what enabled Mary and me to live in Chicago and what we were making, what made the difference was the fact that Mary's mom and dad paid our rent for the entire 2.5 years I was in seminary. I don't recall asking them ever to do that. They just started doing it. Bob and Jane joyfully and generously and consistently made it possible for their daughter and her husband to follow this call into ministry. They were cheerful givers. I was just talking to a friend in town who needed to replace his old car that was starting to nickel and dime him to death. But he was hard-pressed to find the nickels and dimes, much less the dollars, to make that happen. Well, out of the blue, one of his friends called him. It seems that his friend had a fairly new car that was barely being used because now, because of the pandemic, he was working from home. His friend said, "Here's a crazy idea. What if we swap cars? I'll take your old car, and you can have my newer one." And that's exactly what they did. The man cheerfully gifted his friend in a generous manner that made all the difference to his friend. On the news the other night, I heard the story of 18-year-old Taft Foley, a high school senior in Houston, Texas. Taft's fascination with medicine prompted him to complete studies to become an EMT as soon as he was of legal age. And when the coronavirus hit Houston, Taft despaired at the great number of people who struggled just to be tested for the virus. "There had to be a better way," Taft said. So Taft started a mobile testing lab. To raise money for materials and equipment to get started, he sold his video game consoles, a precious possession to any teenager. He hit up his friends and relatives for donations. He talked to area auto dealers and secured donations of vans and graphics wrapping the vans with a message announcing that this was a free mobile coronavirus testing lab. Each weekend, Taft spends most of his time offering free testing to veterans, to unsheltered homeless persons, to senior citizens. To those who can pay, part of the fee covers free testing for those who cannot. Taft told the TV reporter, "There need to be more people willing to help others without expecting anything in return." Now, what would cause a high school senior to do that? Did he do it to pad his resume? To add zip to his college applications? To make the evening news in Houston? Why would a young man go to such lengths, selling off cherished video game consoles, hitting up relatives for donations, rounding up community businesses and organizations to fund his nonprofit program? Why would he give up his senior year as a varsity wrestler, a sport that Taft had won championships in? Why would he give up his weekends to interact with veterans and seniors and the homeless instead of hanging with his friends? Taft is acting out of the joy of doing for others. He said, "People need help, and I wanted to be the one to reach out my hand to help them." His choices, his actions, his generosity embody the free and joyful spirit of that cheerful giver that the Apostle Paul commended. Taft finds joy in sharing his interest, his time, his compassion for others. I'm not sure that I've heard a clearer example of a cheerful giver than young Taft Foley. At this time of the year, we are encouraged to deliberately reflect on our stewardship, our caretaking of the financial, the relational, the spiritual blessings that God has given us that overflow in our lives. God invites us to be cheerful givers because that's God's nature. What's the story that others will tell about you? What decision will you make? What action will you take that will cause others to picture you when they think of a cheerful giver?